Okay, open your Bibles up. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Second part two from last week, a word to the suffering, hope expressed. A word to the suffering, hope expressed. Let us pray. Father God, once again we approach you, Father, and we come to you, Father, in asking you, Father, to open our hearts, our minds, our souls, Father, everything within us, Father, that you will begin a work in us, Father, through your word, that you, Father, will infiltrate the things in our hearts and our minds, Father, and that you will help us to receive this word, Father, that we can become a better image, Father, of you, and Father, that we can express love in a manner that would be glorifying to you. Father, you loved us even while I was a sinner. You loved me even when I didn't deserve to be loved. Father, let us love that way. Let us be that kind of people. Let us be that kind of church. So, Father, as we come and ask for your Holy Spirit to work in us. And, Father, as we do that, we come, Father, and once again in laying ourselves before you and saying that we are a sinner. I am a sinner. So, Father, I need your forgiveness. So, Father, I pray that you would help me. Father, at this time, I offer myself to you as a servant. And once again, Father, if I'm going to not be the one that you have to speak, if there's something in me that should not be there that would hinder this, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus you would silence my lips and that you would rise up the one to speak for you in my place. Do as you will to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. April 15th, 1965, at a time when this country was involved in the Vietnam War, there was a lot of controversy, a lot of disagreements, a lot of opposition among Americans about our involvement in that war. Now, although I don't remember too much of it, I was a little bit young, I do remember seeing things on TV where people were in Washington, D.C., and there were a lot of riots and kind of things, and I can remember vaguely remember those things. But there was a lot of controversy and opposition around the involvement in that war. There was a social movement that spread across this country that showed itself in demonstrations and protests that spread across this country opposing this country's involvement in the war and those who were actually over there fighting in the war. Well, at this very same time, this song was released in that very same time. And I'm not going to sing it like the Barney song, so don't get all excited, all right? All right? I know, you were waiting for it, but it ain't going to happen this week, all right? This was the song that was released. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for Lord. We don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for and now, for those of you who have that song stuck in your head, you're welcome. Just getting back at you what Mike did to me last week, all right? Now, I know nothing about the author who wrote that song. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what his motivation, I don't know anything about it, him or her who wrote that song. Nor do I personally know the singer of this song, Jackie DeShannon. But they didn't get it wrong, did they? They didn't get that wrong. What the world needs now truly is love, sweet love. And listen, the Lord knew that as well. The Lord knew that as well because he inspired Peter to pen these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, where Peter said this, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of sincere love of the brethren. Remember, sincere love of the brethren. If you remember last week, there, that's where we left off. We expressed the hope that we have in Jesus Christ by the love that we express for one another. It's an expression, right? That was last week. Last week in point one, we seen how love expresses itself with an integrity. If you remember last week, Peter said that we are to love one another with a sincere, that is a unhypocritical, take the mask off. Remember, take the mask off. Not a fake love, but a real genuine love. When we are struggling, when life is hard, we can express the hope that we have in Jesus Christ with integrity. Because as the songwriter said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now let me show you the second thing, and the second thing is this. That was point number one from last week. Let me see. Love expresses itself not with just an integrity, but it also expresses itself with an intensity. Now go back to the same verse. We have already dealt with the adjective. Now we're going to look at the adverb. We looked at the adjective, but now we're going to look at the adverb. And here it is, fervently. Fervently love one another. Look at that verse. Love one another fervently with what? A pure heart. Fervently, there's the adverb right there, and it's going to describe the word love. It is describing that word there. It's describing the action behind that word, okay? The word sincere described the noun love, and now fervently describes the verb love. So how am I supposed to love? You are to love fervently. Now, the word there means to stretch out. That's what it means. It means to stretch out. That is what he's saying here. Now watch what he's saying. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of sincere, that's with integrity, love the brethren. And what he's saying here, he says you're going to stretch yourself out loving one another. You're going to stretch yourself out. Now that's a great statement right there. It's actually the picture of a runner. Just get the picture of a runner, an Olympic marathon or a sprinting race, okay? We watch, that's the only time I really watch track or anything is at the Olympics. So imagine a runner who's running in a race, and he's got a guy running in the lane next to him. He's right beside him, and the guy in the lane next to him is really giving him some trouble. Like, it's too close for comfort. And so he gets close to the finish line, and what does he do? When those runners get right up on that finish line, what do? They stretch themselves out. You watch them. They get that long stride, and they stretch themselves out. Now, you've seen that before, like I've seen that. Amen? We've seen it. We know what we're talking about. How a runner will stretch himself out to cross that finish line. Also, if you ever watched John Wayne, right? Oftentimes, you will see John Wayne running from the Indians on horseback. And you'll see John Wayne on the back of that horse, and that horse stretches that neck out. And that body is all stretched out. It's like when if you ever go watch a race, a horse race or anything, they stretch out. His body is stretched out, and those hind legs are just stretched out. That's the word right there, fervently. That's what the word picture is there. He says, in our love, we should stretch out for one another. Now, the Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, you don't just love in word and tongue. Remember we talked about that? Yeah, I love you, brother. Amen. I'll pray for you. Don't worry about it, man. And then, you know, we just kind of, a lot of niceties, but no real stretching out there. But he says, don't love just word of tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now understand, it's not enough to just walk around here and say, yeah, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Peter and the Lord is saying here, let's see it in some tangible, visible way. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Let's see it worked out, right? And that's what Peter is telling us here. Love with some intensity, not just the word and tongue in cheek. And folks, I want to tell you something. I just want you to sit back for a minute because I've thought an awful lot about this, especially when I think about this nation, this time that we're in. We are in a difficult time nationally. Listen, I'm not trying to preach politics here. You know, I'm not. What I'm trying to tell you is look at this nation nationally. Turn on the news. Every turn, every angle, every which way do you think that you can, whatever said from this person, that person, you see it? Hatred. hatred, anger, bitterness. I mean, you see it nationally. Listen, division at every turn. What is there? A lack of love. In this world is in a difficult, not just nationally, now the world is in a difficult time as well. Nations are drawing up battle lines. There are people who are choosing up sides. People trying to gain favor with this nation or that nation. If you don't see that the stage is set for some man somewhere to step up and say, I have an answer for all of this. I got what the world needs right now. And all the world leaders will turn to him and say, we'll make you king tomorrow. We'll make you ruler over everything tomorrow if you can solve this situation. If you can come and bring a thing to the world problems and to the world stage. Anybody here see that but me? Yeah, Steve, I know you're on, right? The whole situation today lays out perfectly a scenario for the man of sin, the Antichrist, Satan. It lays out a scenario for the man of sin to step forward and deceive the entire world. And if you don't see that, then listen to me. You're not reading your Bible. or at the very least, listen, few will disagree with this, I believe. The world is in a mess. What your views is on all that, we can come to this agreement. If you will disagree, the world is a mess. When they say peace, peace, and there is no peace, then time is what? Near. What's that time is near mean? What does that mean? The coming. But you know what? That might catch us off guard. But that does not catch God by surprise one little bit. God knows exactly what is happening in this world, and I suspect his hand is right in the middle of it all. You know, we pray for things to get better, and God's telling us in his word, they're going to get worse. What's the best thing I can do in this time? Love. You see it? Now, what does God expect us to do when times are tough? How does the church lead in a difficult society, in a difficult world, when times are tough? Well, as I was thinking about this, here are a few things that we can do as a New Testament believers. Listen, one, we do need to love, but there's some ways that we need to get around into doing that. They're tangible. God's people can lead in three very clear ways. There's many ways, but I think three very clear ways as the church. We can lead in our finances. Never before has your tithe been more important to the kingdom of God than it is right now. If you truly love Jesus Christ, but you're not a giver, you're not a tither, then by all means, with intensity, you want to be upfront and say, in these difficult times, in these difficult days, I will lead with my finances to show that God is Lord of every area of my life. You think, well, why is that so important? It's that through your finances, you serve God, and that your finances don't rule you, for one, okay? But you will stretch yourself out to honor God in this manner, in this way. Why? Why? So that you can give the pastor more money? No, I'm paid well. Why? What are we to be doing at the church? We are to be putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That costs. You know, brother is starting a new ministry. That's going to cost. It should cost us something, right? It costs Jesus everything, right? So we need to stretch ourselves out to honor God in our finances. Why? So that we can share the greatest love. The greatest love of all, so that we can be involved in ministries that share the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, here's the second thing, is to lead with your talent. Lead with your talent. All of you have a God-given gift if you are saved. Every single person who is saved has a God-given gift. And some of you need to be using that gift. Some of you need to be using your talents. But some of you are not using it, which is a sin against the God who gave it to you. Now, that's not really feeling too good, right? We're talking about stretching yourself out. Don't forget what we're talking about here. Now, you may say, I use it out there. Listen, I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm ecstatic that you're using it out there. I'm glad that you're putting into action your gifts and your talents out there, that you're being an image of God out there. I truly am. I'm not mocking you. I am truly in favor of you doing that. But Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, which I can't get away from since the mission trip, but Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says this, to use it first, especially to who? The household of faith. First. So look, stretch yourself out there in what God has given you. Put it into action. You know, some of the people that hurt the worst are the people sitting in here. They are. Or the people sitting here. So you can lead by using your talent. And number three, and because out of those things I haven't gotten a whole bunch of amens, like, yeah, Pastor, I think you're right. I'm going to give more this week, and I'm going to sign up for 15 ministries. No, right? Let me talk about the third thing. It's not going to cost you a dime. And that is, lead with your time. Lead with your time. Lead with your energy. Lead with your hands. Lead with yourself. And there are a lot of avenues that won't cost you anything to do that. It won't cost you anything to do this thing. There are a lot of places that you can volunteer. Listen, the community breakfast is one of those places. If you haven't come over there and helped out and at least checked it out, listen, shame on you. You should come there. At least once and check that out and see what's going on there. It is incredible being at the grassroots, interacting with people on the street. It is great. You know, it's tremendous stories that they got. Right, John? The stories that they have is just out of this world. Right, brother? I mean, they are just people like you and me. And, so, and you think they're all gloom and doom? They're not. They are some incredible people. Listen, the RU ministry that's going to start is another way to get involved. You can volunteer to babysit some of our children here so that some of these young parents can get a break. You know, we had three people report off and extended this morning. Listen, we had people stepped up and said, I'll do it. Listen, you can get involved in that. You can volunteer to sit with an elderly parent so that the kids can get a break. You know how many times that I'm talking parents, I'm talking, and I'm going to use you just as an example, because they both had parents that were ill, that they could use somebody giving them a break so they could go out and go grocery shopping. God forbid they go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. You see what I'm saying there? That somebody sit with elderly parents so that the kids can get a break. Well, listen, we can stretch ourselves out. You can volunteer back here in the preschool tomorrow. Listen, you get what I'm saying here. Stretch yourself out. You're extending. What does it mean? You're extending yourself beyond the norm, beyond what of all that's in you. You're extending yourself out. It won't cost you, listen, it won't cost you to stretch yourself out to do something for somebody who can't do anything back for you. What? Stretch yourself out to do something for somebody who can't do anything back for you. And you think, well, what can I do for him? He stretched himself out. You say, Pastor, I don't have any extra income. I say, okay, but then are you breathing? I get it. There's people who are tight. I understand that. I get it. I'm not trying to ask you for something that you don't have. I'm not asking you for something you don't have. But I'm asking you this. Are you breathing? Do you have two hands? Can you stand up? Can you stand on your feet and do something for somebody else? That is exactly what Peter's talking about here. Stretching yourself out in love for the brethren. You can stretch yourself out and do something for somebody else. That's why that we have these small Sunday school classes, these small group Sunday school classes. I've been telling you, I sat here a couple of months ago and told you how we're going to change in Sunday school. We're changing Sunday school. We're going to make them into small groups, and we want you to get close. You know why we want to do that? I'm going to give you the real honest reason why we want to do that. One, it is to help sustain growth. It is, truly. That's what I told you. But here's a real reason. We want to do that because you get in a small group. You get a small community group. There's a lot of us. All of us know everybody. But everybody that went to Sunday school, you know pretty much everybody in your Sunday school, right? Well, you get in that small group. Let me tell you something. You can't hide any longer. You can't hide in that small group like you can hide in here. Listen, believe it or not, I cannot disciple 200 people. I can't do it. I might be able to do two or three if I really stretch myself out. I might be able to do two or three people at a time at most, but there's no way to do 200. I can't do it. From what I understand, listen, let me put this into perspective. When you go to boot camp, they don't get you all in the lecture room and lecture you at the whole 13 weeks of boot camp at the same time. That's not what they do. What do? They got this big, large group that comes in, but they put you in what, small squadrons? Is that what they're called? Anybody have the correct term? Is that what they're called? They're put in small squadrons, and they teach you to care for one another. And they teach you to fight as a unit together, right? To stick up, you are together. You're a unit together, a part of a bigger unit outside of yourself, right? You see that? Look what Sunday school church, you're getting it here? Likewise, when we get you into Sunday school, where you get to know that group of people, and then you will know you're in this collective small group of people that you're meeting in with week in, week out, then you will know when this person is struggling. You'll know when this person needs help. And you'll know when this person can use a friend. And then you see, it's then with intensity that I can be the image of Jesus Christ to somebody sitting right next to me. What a novel thought, right? I mean, I want you to think about what a novel thought to come to church and act like Jesus. I could put my arm around somebody and pray for them. I can call them up tomorrow morning and say, listen, I love you and I'm praying for you. I noticed yesterday you seemed like something wasn't right, something was a little off. I'm not trying to pry, but I'm just asking you, is there something I can pray with you with about right now? I'm a good listener. If you want to talk to me, are you okay? Listen, obedience to the word. Don't forget the first part of this verse. Obedience to the word. We are to do the works of our Savior, not sit on our rump and soak. Listen, this is not somebody else's job. It's not my job. If you think it's my job, then you're not reading the word. It's part of my job. It's a part of what I'm going to be doing. It's not my job. It's our job together. It's us collectively. It's not me. It's we. We are to love one another and demonstrate that love. Put it into action. That's what he's saying here. Listen, I'm giving you the word. I'm giving a word to the suffering, and the word is this. We are to stretch ourselves out for each other. We are to do that. And now, listen, we're to do that often. It's not a one-time thing. Well, I did that last year. No. Listen, you may get involved in somebody's life last year, and you may still be involved with them with that same problem. Trust me, I know. Listen, stretch yourself out. Now watch. Now let me give you the last thing. And the last thing is this, point number three. Love expresses itself by identity. Love expresses itself by identity. Now look back in verse 22. Peter says it here. Look what it says. With a what? With a pure heart. We are to love a sincere love for the brethren. We are to fervently love one another with a pure heart. Not externally, not just externally. Not with this play stuff on the outside where you are faking. Last week's message, right? Where we're faking, but with a pure heart. Now, do you remember what has happened to your heart? Anybody here remember what has happened to your heart? It has been sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus, right? So look, if that happened, now I'm changed. I'm different than I was before. The old things have passed away. The new has come. So now I'm changed. I'm different. I'm no longer the same. If you are, then there's something wrong. I'm no longer the same. So now I can love from my heart. Do you understand? I'm going to cut right to the core to this. Do you understand that I can love from my heart? I want you to keep in view behind me the work, the communion, the cross. I'm different now. I'm no longer the same as I once was. I've been what? Born. So now, because of that, now watch. I can love from my heart. Now, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Now I can risk being hurt. Anybody that's ever served in real, true ministry has been hurt. Some of us are hurt right now. We are. Christians get wounded. Christians have feelings. You get me? But because of that love that demonstrated and put itself out for me, you think that hurt him? I can risk now being hurt. I can also risk being attacked. You say, well, this is love? This is love. This is love. Real, genuine love. Because of the change and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, because I have been transformed in the likeness of God, I have His Spirit living in me. Now I can stretch myself out in an unhypocritical way, not in a faking way, knowing that when I do this, I most likely am going to get hurt and I'm going to be attacked. And I'm going to risk being persecuted. Because I've been changed from the inside out, because I've been changed in my heart, because I have been born again. Look, because of this, look at verse 23. Been born again, not of corruptible seed. Oh, this is good. He's talking about your flesh here. All of us have been born of the flesh, right? We're all going to die. You could say that to yourself, I'm going to die. We are all going to die, whether you realize it or not. We are all going to die. There are no exceptions to the rule. I can pray as long as the day is long that Randy Ryan never, ever, ever dies. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen? He's going to die. Actually, if I prayed that for him, he'd probably shoot me. Listen, there are no exceptions to the rule. Why? 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 I'm so glad you asked me. Why is there no exception? Why are you going to die? Because you were born of human parents. That's why. You were born of a corruptible seed. I'm not trying to step on anybody, but there are some people that think that Virgin Mary never died. That is wrong. That is heresy. She was born of two sinful parents, and she is the offspring of those two parents. She was not born of the Spirit of God as Jesus Christ was. She died. Now somebody, I'm going to get lambasted. I don't care. It's the truth. Now listen, here is the good news. But we have been born by seed that is incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides for how long? Forever and ever and ever. Now here it is. How am I born again? How does that happen? Well, God's word was planted in me. God's word was planted in you. And listen, it is uncorruptible. It's an uncorruptible word. You can't corrupt it. I can't corrupt it. It's an uncorruptible, and it is what? Look at the next word. What is it? Imperishable. You're never going to kill it. It's never going to be done away with. Faith comes through the what? The hearing of the word. You believe by faith. You believe through the hearing of the word. And you are saved by grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are saved by grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been stretched out to you. Through faith. You've been saved by grace through faith. And that not of your own. If you don't have the work on the front end of God, you're never going to have the work on the back end of your salvation. It ain't going to happen. Faith comes through that. So here again, watch. What am I telling you? Here again is another proof that you will not lose your salvation. You have been born again of the incorruptible, imperishable seed of God's word. You can't lose it. Why? It's of God, not of yourself. It's of Him, not of you. This is eternal, and it's the word of God Himself in me. It's in me. His Spirit dwells where? In me. Not around me, but in me. And look, but look what human flesh will fall away, but this incorruptible seed will last forever. You say, well, what's the scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Isaiah chapter 40. Because what? Look, all flesh, what are we talking about? Flesh, right? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass that withers, and the flower falls away, it dies. But, underline it, underscore it, circle it, but the word of the Lord, what? What was planted in you? There we are. Isn't that sweet, people? Is that not sweet? Now listen to what he says. Something has happened in my heart. I can love my brother or sister from the heart. I can put myself, stretch myself out there. I know that there are risks to be had. I don't have to get emotional about it. My brother doesn't have to jump through hoops. There doesn't have to be conditions on it. But I can accept and embrace him or her and love him or her from my heart for who they are in Jesus Christ. For who they are. I'm not lining up all their faults. I'm lining up sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. For who they are in Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have been identified with Christ and so have they. I really wished, and I know people are going to tell me you should, but I'm not. I really wished, honest to God, I wish I had the time to unpack baptism in this. I really do. But listen, there is the identity of Christ in me. There is the identity of Christ in me. Therefore, I am to love the way that Jesus Christ loved me. He didn't come down here and tell me to clean myself up first, then he would love me. Did he? Did he do that? Likewise, you are to love each other the way Jesus Christ has loved you. And in doing that, you identify, watch, in doing that, you identify in loving others, you identify yourself with Jesus Christ. Love is not a thing. Love is a person. It's an action. You getting me? You hearing me? It's in that love is where? In me. If you are born again, then love abides in you as well. Then that love expresses itself by identifying with the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the way you are to love each other, and that's how you express your hope, even in difficult days. Why? Because I have to trust what God has told me to do, that's what I need to do, and that He's going to work out that end manner to work out for the glory of all who love and serve Him. Is that sweet? I just love this. Even in difficult times, I can love like that. So let me ask you this. Do you have any hope? Do you have any hope? How do I know that you have hope? How do I know that you have? You say you have hope, but how do I know that you have hope? How I know that you have hope when there is love in your life and it has integrity. You're not playing. You're not acting. You're not a fake. I can tell that you have love, that I can tell that your love is genuine when you are stretching yourself out. I'm ready to minister. I'm ready to love. I'm ready to care for. I'm ready to walk with, to pray with, to serve my brothers and sisters. And whatever their need is and whatever the risk is, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to put it. And I'm loving from the heart out of a pure motivation. I'm not self-seeking. I'm Christ-seeking. God did what he did for me out of his love for the Father. You see it? In other words, I'm loving the way Jesus Christ is loving me. No preconditions. No preconditions. My question to you this morning is this. Can you do that? The question for me this morning is, can I do that? It's hard. I'm telling you it's hard. No preconditions. Can you do that? Can you love like that? You know, John MacArthur tells a story about an engineer in the early 1900s who was up on some scaffolding looking at a building project that he was overseeing, that he was engineering. Well, he took a misstep. This guy took a misstep. This engineer took a misstep, and he tripped on the scaffolding and began to fall. I don't know anybody here. Anybody here ever worked on scaffolding before? Right? You ever work on a scaffolding? They got the boards on there, and they overlap them boards, you know, across those scaffolding. Do you ever step off that inch and a half when you're backing up and you're forgetting you step off that inch and a half board and you think nine stories just went by? This guy took a misstep and tripped on the scaffolding and began to fall legitimately. And it just so happened that there was a worker standing right below who heard all this commotion going on and looked up and he saw the engineer falling. And he thought to himself, I'm right here. If he falls on me, I can break his fall and probably even save his life. I could soften the blow. I can save him. That's exactly what the guy did. Now, anybody knows anything about what I just said? And the engineer, he fell on him, the guy below, and they both went to the ground. They both just immediately drove right to the ground. The engineer stood up with hardly an injury on his body whatsoever, but the man that was fell on was crushed. They say he broke nearly every bone in his body, but he wasn't dead. He went through hours of surgery, months of recuperation and rehab. He went through a year at least of physical therapy, and after all of that, he still wasn't right. He couldn't work anymore. He couldn't carry out a normal life. Well, the newspaper, local newspaper, went to do a special interest story on the guy's life who got crushed a year or so after this had happened, because they wondered what happened to this guy, the engineer. Did the engineer do anything for you? They come and ask him, did the engineer do anything for you for saving his life? And so in the article, they asked the guy, so what did the engineer do for you? They asked him, did he ever thank you? Did the engineer ever thank you? And this is what the worker said. He said, that man gave me half of everything that he had. And not only did he do that, but he gave me a share of his business so that I could have a steady income. And he said, beyond that, this guy comes by almost every single day with some little trinket or token of his appreciation for what I did for him. I want to tell you all something. Jesus Christ did for you what this man did for the engineer. When you fell into sin, Jesus took the crushing blow of your fall. He took the blow. He took the blow. What should have happened to you happened to him. He was crushed for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquity. He took a whipping that Larry Garrison should have received. He took it. He went to a cross that Larry Garrison should have gone to. He was crucified when Larry Garrison should have been crucified. He died in my place. He took the blow that I should have taken. And when Jesus Christ has loved me like that, how can I do anything else but love him
by loving you. Question, how can I? Even the most despicable, most miserable person in this place, how can I not love you? Because Christ loved despicable me first. Just a question. Let's stand. There are a lot of people here this morning. You're living in a lot of fear right now. You're living in fear. You're living in confusion. You're living in a time of turmoil. But there's fear right there. I'm going to tell you something. There's hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. A lot of you are struggling. You are struggling through some very difficult days in your marriage, in your life, in your family, in your work, in the church, in your faith, with your children. I can't name them all. Some of you are out of a job. Some of you are struggling with personal issues. You are hurting because someone has hurt you. Some of you are struggling through the loss of a loved one. There's some physical struggle going on somewhere, somehow. Some of you are battling something spiritually in your life right now. I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something very that you need to know. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day of your salvation. God loves you. Say that. God loves me. God loves me. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And right now, in this very moment, do you know what you can do? You can call upon Him. You can call up and go, yes, He's listening. Yes, He will listen. Yes, He will hear you. Yes, when you call, he has His ear turned towards you. Call out. Call out to Him. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Just bow your heads for a second. I know I've sinned. Listen, you're sitting here saying, listen, I don't need anybody to tell me that. I know you don't. You know that you sinned. I know I've sinned. I'm a sinner and I can't do anything about it. But I've been told in your word, the imperishable word, the incorruptible word, I've been told in your word that you love me and you'll forgive me if I'll ask you in repentance. So here I am, Lord. I'm bowed before you. I'm looking into my own heart and I'm saying, I need this forgiveness. I need you in my life. So I'm asking you, please forgive me of my sin. And I'm trusting you, Father, because I am truly sorry for the things that I have done that have not brought glory and honor unto you. So I come to you, only you. You're the only one that can restore me, redeem me, fix me, if you want to put that word in there. I come to you and I want to receive your free gift of eternal life and forgiveness. And I come to you to receive your love, your grace, and your mercy. And I want to get, listen, and I want to give you my life. I want to give you all of me. Not just my future, but I want to give you all of me, the here, now, and my future, my eternity to you. And I do this in Jesus' name. I just come to you and ask you to save me. Now, let me tell you something. If you've just prayed that by faith, in belief, and through the truth of God's word, if you just prayed that, then you need to come and share that with me. You just need to come and say, listen, I prayed to receive Jesus. That's what I want to hear you say. You need to come, and now you need to come to be discipled. We need to sit down with you, to begin to walk with you and pray with you, assign somebody to teach you and walk with you. And you say, well, that's what I want. I want somebody to walk alongside of me. Well, I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment to share that with me. Now, there are others of you who want to be a part of this church. I don't know what the holdup is. You do. God's working. Listen, I'm not a forceful person, but some of you know this is where you belong. You want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of a church where people really do love each other, where there is some integrity in their love. There's some intensity about their love, and their love looks like the love of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. People want to be a part of a church like that. Amen? Because they can't find it anywhere else. Now listen to me. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we are striving to be the image of Jesus Christ. That we can say, right? And you say, I want to be a part of that. Well, I invite you. You come and share that with me as well. Father, you have been so good to us. You have blessed us beyond measure. You truly have. You have demonstrated a love and a mercy far more exceedingly than we can even begin to comprehend. You have poured yourself out through the years to us. You have stretched yourself out for us because you knew what the world needed was love, sweet love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. You have blessed this place in so many different ways. We are blessed beyond measure here. And if we can't turn around and express the love of Jesus here, then, Father, we have no hope. But surely, Lord Jesus, after you have been so good, after you've been so gracious and have blessed us so much, that if we can't genuinely from the heart, that if we can't genuinely from the heart, with intensity, wrap our arms around each other and say, I love you in Jesus Christ, then, Father God, I lay myself before you and say, Father God, please forgive us and have mercy on us. For, Father, that is the expression of our hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ, and we express that hope by loving others the way that you have loved us. So, Father, what I'm saying is this. Be honored in this invitation. Glorify yourself. I pray, Father, we respond rightly the way that you would have us to respond in our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the praise band begins, God is speaking right now to somebody in this place. Somebody here needs to make a decision. As that band plays, you just step out and you come right away. Just come.